Welcome back to Geek Show Arcade.
Hey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is Geek Show Arcade, where we talk about video games and video game related things. It'll probably at some point devolve into gushing all over Fallout TV.
A Fallout show. Exclusive episode.
Because, boy, that's some good TV.
It is.
All right, let's introduce our panelists before we get any further, though. Kicking it off in the corner. There's four of us. We're all in corners. Lower right-hand corner, it's Owen.
Kicking off in one of the corners. That's me, Owen, back from the Mostly Dead. You can catch
Welcome
me
back.
Here. You can catch me on the Geek Show Help Desk. Just doling out gems. That's what I do. I come here and hand out precious gems of gaming and stuff. So
he's the gem doler.
Has anyone ever told you that you have all the best words?
Nope, but I like that. So we're going to put that on my resume. Update my LinkedIn.
All right. He's
James said.
Saying things that sounds like Orange 45 would say. All the best words. It's James.
Why would you do that to me? I thought this was a safe place.
You do look kind of orange today.
Orange 45.
It's the light. Like, that's I have good. These lights that make me...
No. Oh,
no,
not
that's
helpful.
Worse.
I've been building a treehouse in my backyard to prove that I'm still a real boy. Because really, if we're being honest, I have the physique of somebody wishing a Muppet to life.
How are you surviving the snakes back there? I thought you saw a snake in your backyard once mowing and basically couldn't go back for weeks. Now you're building a treehouse back there? I would have just sworn off the whole area. Oh.
Well, you've ruined it for him.
Too soon. Sorry. I just remember the story from years ago.
Oh,
of your
yeah.
Snake
I was
where
mowing
you left
my
the
lawn
mower
in my safe
and you
place.
Left.
Which yeah. I don't know if you guys are like me. Probably not. I don't know. I love mowing my lawn. It is the one time I get like instant gratification because like you can literally see in real time the results of your work.
This is true. I love half of it until I get hot and sweaty and then I hate the other half.
How do you feel about vacuuming?
I love vacuuming.
I'm fine with vacuuming.
Weirdos.
It's oddly satisfying. When you combine that with a floor mop vacuum combo, oh man, chills down my spine.
What's I bought a
Tony.
A mop.
It's getting weird.
Roomba.
Get this.
I love mop Roombas. I have a RoboVac.
And you can make them go in tandem. So it's like, hey, when you get done, bud, tag him out. And then he just gets there and just licks everything up as if he.
So that was
licking things. Speaking of licking things up.
That was James's intro. Hey, Jaren.
Speaking of licking things up, here's Jared.
Hey, this is Jaren, hardware floor technology extraordinaire. Hardware floor? That didn't make any sense. Anyway, we have a host. His name is Tony.
Hey, keeping it short and sweet, at Quad T Tony on Twitter or on other Geek Show podcasts.
I missed you guys.
It's good to have you here, James.
Thanks. Indeed.
It's good to have you here. All right. Do we have any emails?
Yeah, we do.
Oh.
Email.
He sounds excited.
We got one from the new Lang, otherwise known as Joey. He says, hello, panel and Arcadians. This is not an AI-generated email. It just feels like it. I'm writing to you about AI in
That's
gaming.
Exactly what an AI would say, too.
I work for a large gaming company. Wink, wink.
What?
And my coworkers and I have been chatting. My company is exploring AI art and other production tools to aid our work and creative process.
Don't say that out loud. People will get mad at you.
Yes. Some obviously feel like this is an invasion to the creatives, especially in the recent gaming climate.
Yep.
While others see it nothing more than a tool to be used. In your opinions, does this future of AI in games foretell our demise or a new age of creation? If best, then regards, Joey, a.k.a. New Ling.
I think well, Joey, how well, to our demise.
I think it goes on how well it plays, right? Like that's what it comes down to. Do you care how good something looks or how what made it if it comes down to
Well, I don't think he's talking about AI doing the gameplay. I think he's just talking about art.
Yeah, making the art. Like, AI, do you care if that human face was drawn by a person or... It's painstakingly for 25 hours or
yes,
2 hours.
Because then it's
AI.
Not really art anymore. Art is human expression. And
I mean,
you take the human part out of it.
But
I
you're
think
playing,
no longer
you're
art.
Playing games. Are you playing games for that level of art though?
Some games.
Like,
yeah.
Like some the games. Okay.
Like some games are
okay,
definitely
Jaren,
a lot
okay.
more arty.
Jaren. Okay. Okay. Jaren.
I think that it is a new tool that will find its place in artists' quivers. You know, another arrow in the quiver for artists.
Yeah, I feel like it's an efficiency tool.
I think
it's going to get you started.
I think right now there's a big backlash on it, and probably somewhat rightfully so, because the first part of using this tool is, I think, going to be a lot of people trying to use it to replace artists, when that's not what it should be. It should be a tool for the artists to use, because if you just use it to replace the artists, the quality is going to suffer. The AI art is never going to be as creative or as good as an actual artist either doing the art themselves or using the AI as a tool. So,
well, there's a whole industry around the art, right? There's awards given for the art.
Yeah.
And if people find out you're using AI to do it, well, that's they feel a little duped, you know? Yep. They're like, oh, I thought that this was painstakingly blood, sweat, and tears. No, I just did it with AI and basically achieved the same result without the effort. And so, I think that's what people get offended with.
I think we're gonna see the pendulum swing, and eventually, like all new tools, it's going to stop in the middle and find its use.
In my very uninformed opinion, to me, I think it feels okay in like the ideation phase, just like trying to decide what you want to do.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to see what sticks, you know.
But I can get that, yeah.
So
you can't kick against capitalism. It does it faster and it does it cheaper.
Well, we're not talking about reality. We're talking about our own opinions here.
Yeah.
I mean,
my opinion is based in reality.
So here's the thing is like, there are days that I wish that I did what Jaren does, because I feel like Jaren, while there is a big sense of creativity with what you do, at the end of the day, a number is a number, right? Like how fluid you get with the number, how like creative you get with that number, where you move money or numbers around to make it work. Great.
That's called cooking the books, and that's illegal.
You can't be creative.
You can't be too creative.
Okay, no. I didn't want to say that your job's binary because I felt like it was reductive, but it's binary, Jaren. It's binary. Anyway, what I'm saying is, so I work in marketing, and I've had leaders in the past that have utilized AI, and like marketing for the most part is a very, like there are fundamentals that don't really change with marketing. But human behavior, and I'm sorry if you've heard this 1,000 times that I've said this, but like business very much is like an ocean and it ebbs and it flows. And you have to be a business that is a boat on top of the water, and you have to be able to ebb and flow with the ocean that is business, or you're going to sink. And marketing is a big part of navigating the social landscape on how your brand is going to be interpreted. And with marketing, it needs to be powered by creatives that think outside of the box, because it's one thing to work inside of a box, but it's finding where the corners are in that box. And that's where the truly creative businesses come to the surface. Now, I had a leader before that would almost exclusively use ChatGPT to ideate for campaigns. And it is amazing how like 5 out of 10, every idea was. It was like,
super average, huh?
Yeah, they weren't bad. They weren't good.
That's what I was saying. Like, you won't get nearly as creative stuff out of an AI algorithm than you will from a person. You know,
not yet.
Maybe it's not yet. I don't know. Yeah. At this point, no, though.
Well, like it's just averaging out every human's work.
Exactly.
So how could it be good?
It's averaging it out. Exactly. So I think we're going to get to the point where you're going to see AI used in game development, regardless.
Upscale assets. And
But that's taking something that's already been created and just making it sharper.
Yeah. Well, and imagine creative will be able to map their own AI assistant, and the learning will be from them. Having another you to shortcut your processes
and
make you more efficient. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to the point where we're going to see it used by artists, not replacing artists.
Yeah.
Because when they use it to replace an artist, it's just not going to be good. And the free market capitalism doesn't allow for things that aren't good to rise to the top and get paid, and make money.
And as much as it feels like it, there is no imagination there.
Yeah.
There is no real math. Creation.
Could it be that AI is completely overblown and we're just still in the hype cycle at the beginning of the technology?
I think we are. I think that we're seeing the same thing we saw in the second wave of cryptocurrency stuff when Ethereum took off.
Yeah,
layer and two everyone was like, "This is going to be the answer to all business questions and all money management and all information management." And now, 5-8 years later, it has its uses, but it's not the end all be all. And I think the AI that we're playing with right now is in the same boat. It's just the bubble phase right now, where everyone's saying it's the future when it will have use for sure. It has a place, but you know, it's not going to replace artists. If even only for the fact that people will not support whatever it is
Didn't somebody win an award recently for like best something something, and then they admitted that it was made by AI?
A couple of years, like 2 years ago, last year I think it was a Sony photography award. Something like that.
Some photography award. So,
but
that's getting blurred. The line's getting blurred there for sure.
Anyway,
I for one welcome our robot overlords,
our AI overlords.
Yep.
Thanks for writing in, Joey.
Joey.
Yes.
New Lang.
New Lang. All right.
Okay, let's talk about other game stuff. My patience has finally paid off. I refused to support Jedi Survivor because they don't know how to optimize the game for PC for some reason. And now it's come to Xbox Game Pass, so yippee! I'll just be able to play it. With my Xbox Game Pass.
Boom. They know how. They just don't care.
There you go. Yeah. That's accurate. So it's coming to Game Pass Ultimate. It'll be playable on PC and Xbox. I'm going to play on Xbox.
I would recommend Xbox.
It doesn't have the juddery issues that the PC version still has.
It's really bad. Really bad. The worst PC port.
Still has?
Oh yeah.
They've had
how much time?
Which is sad because the graphics are stunning, and when you don't encounter the stutters, it runs really well.
Have they given any type of? Has the community come up with any like optimized settings to avoid it?
No, it's something a developer has to fix. It can't be fixed by the community or back-end. An ultra powered processor that might come out 20 years down the road.
Right.
There you go. So look forward to that. That's coming to really soon, April 25th. So. The day this episode comes out, it'll be on there. So that's pretty neat.
That's neat.
You can tell it is.
Speaking of Xbox, we have an article here about how they're teaming up with Meta.
They are. They're going to do one of their Xboxy things. You know, I like that about Xbox because I'm a fan of the odd, the quirky, the limited edition things. I don't ever get them because I'm not quick enough, smart enough, or rich enough. But I like that they exist. And one of the things that will exist in a limited fashion is an Xbox VR headset, Meta Quests. So it's going to be a Meta Quest with, I assume,
Xbox
Microsoft's branding on it.
Yeah.
And the picture shows that he's using a controller to play this. So... working together again with Microsoft, this is their announcement, to create a limited edition Meta Quest inspired by Xbox.
So it's a themed Meta Quest. Doesn't have anything Xbox actually in it. Okay.
Well, that's the part speculation.
Meta,
It's
part of Meta opening up its operating system that powers its Quest VR headsets to third-party hardware makers.
Hey, that's my story.
Yeah, so that's where the question is. Like, is it going to be just a black Quest 3 with green highlights, with green straps.
I don't know.
Or is it actually going to have some functionality with the Xbox now? Maybe.
Yeah. Well, Zuckerberg says the version of the headset is being teased today comes out of the box with Xbox controllers and Game Pass.
So you that can immediately could be,
start playing on the big screen.
So that's cloud gaming.
Cloud gaming is what I was saying. Streamed
to the Quest.
Yeah,
but the more interesting Meta news, though, is that they're opening up the Quest OS to third parties such as Lenovo and
Asus,
other companies out there. Mm-hmm. This is extremely interesting news. Quest OS really is the only game out there,
pretty
unless
much.
You count a $3,500 Apple headset. which no one is buying right now.
Womp womp.
But this, like, I have no problem with the Quest 3 hardware. It's from everything I've read, it sounds fantastic. However, it'd be really awesome if we had different variants out there. Maybe one with an OLED screen could be very interesting, or an HDR screen. That'd be sweet. So anyway, this just opens up more possibilities for good VR headsets. I wonder what the pricing will be, though, because with the Quest headset, I'm pretty sure Meta is subsidizing this with
probably
game sales and software sales
through the Quest store or whatever.
Yeah, whereas third-party manufacturers won't have that, so I'm guessing it'll be more expensive.
Well, you could get completely different hardware styles and everything from these other companies, because it's just opening up the software for use on other hardware. So you could have completely different...
You still have to sign in with your Meta account. And
You could have completely different panels in there, different cameras on the outside, you know. It doesn't even have to be a Quest headset at all. It would just run the Meta Quest OS, when you build your own PC and put a copy of Windows on it.
What this will do, though, is really up the competition.
I'd love that,
In VR hardware, which is great. And it's really taken a page out of Microsoft's book with Windows, right? Mm-hmm. What they've been doing for decades. So this is Meta's kind of the Windows of VR at this point.
That is is interesting. I did not see that. I didn't see that shift coming. That's
Well, they probably got tired of the hardware game. They're like, that sucks. Our software's good, but the hardware, they're
They know that if they can get this OS on other headsets, then they get 30% of every app that's sold on those OSs.
You know, they still get their data collection.
Double dip there.
And they have a good selection of games. It's better than anything else out there. A bit underpowered because it's an ARM chip that's powered by a battery. But that
throws it out there better. For people. Yeah, the people that want to compete in that area.
They can beef it up.
That lets them do it.
All right. We talked last week about the Crew getting revoked from people's libraries, Ubisoft pulling the game that they paid for and shutting down the servers. Well, it looks like Sony is taking a page out of that playbook and doing the same for Little Big Planet 3.
Little Big Planet 3, all of the user-created content is gone.
Can you imagine? I mean, I guess I can, because basically Nintendo just did the same thing with Mario Maker on the Wii U.
Right.
They just gave him a warning, though.
At least with Nintendo, they gave him a warning.
6 months to get your stuff done or whatever.
The servers have been offline since January, and due to ongoing technical issues, they're just not going to bring them back up.
So their engineer quit.
This typical
engineer, right?
It's
the one guy that knew everything quit with all the tribal knowledge.
It's one of two things. It's that, or they looked at it and said, how much would it cost to fix? Oh, that's not worth it.
This is Little Big Planet 3. You could play user-created stuff all the way back to the original Little Big Planet. And so it's been 16 years of player creations that are gone forever, never coming back.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, the future of gaming.
We're out of storage, and how much do we need?
Disappointing, actually. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Gaming as a service, that's you got to know that going in. Same with live service games, you know, all that kind of
stuff. Data retention, right?
You got to know that you're paying for something that is completely beholden to the whims of the company that supports it.
Of corporate America.
Yep.
And they have no chance of archiving their levels now, and it's just
that should be an option. They should have some kind of hey, just a heads up, here's a window. You can download it locally, whatever.
That'd be great.
Would have been nice. Yeah.
Indeed. All right. Let's see. So, Jaron, you're going to review the GameSir controller in a month or so?
It's coming this week. It's the GameSir Galileo G8. And it's a backbone competitor. You know, the little controller that you stick your phone in the middle of.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of the Backbone controllers because the joysticks, they're frankly trash. They feel like Switch Joy-Cons, and it just doesn't feel good.
Well, Razer's throwing their hat in the ring again. They've had their Kishi for a while, and right after you bought this game, sir, the Kishi was announced.
Razer, they had the original Kishi, and it actually felt pretty good. I loved the joysticks on that. The triggers and the buttons, they were just so-so. Then they released the Kishi 2, which was a Backbone clone, and I just was not impressed with that at all. Didn't
look
good.
Bad joysticks again?
Yeah. Yeah, they had the Joy-Con joysticks. Now they have released the Razer Kishi Ultra. This seems to be like the god tier phone controller here. Looks like it has good joysticks. It has nice little handles similar to a PlayStation.
Well, it'll actually fill your palm, your hands when you use it. That's good.
It has Hall Effect joysticks. It even vibrates. It should fit tablets and pretty much anything you'd want to put in there.
Dang.
Yeah, yeah. The only problem is it costs $150.
Dang.
Yeah, but doesn't the Backbone cost $99 right now?
Backbone costs $99. That is way overpriced. Backbone should cost $50 for what you're getting.
How much is the Game Sir you ordered?
The Game Sir that I ordered, which also comes with Hall Effect sticks and a nice comfortable layout. I don't think it vibrates, though. That one costs $80 on Amazon. I got it off of AliExpress for $55.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll have that Game Sir review later. But it contains most of the benefits from this Razer Kishi Ultra, minus the haptic feedback, which honestly I don't really care about.
Do they have back buttons on it? Like buttons on the bottom?
Do you actually use those buttons?
I do.
All the time.
Yeah,
I love
me too.
Them.
Yeah, the only thing, Jaren told me once that he uses it for like jump when he's playing shooting games, and it's a game changer.
It is.
It's real good, yeah.
Yep, jump or reload on the other side. It's great. Yeah. I don't know if it has buttons on the back. I'm not seeing anything there.
Yeah, they don't. They did a 3D render of these guys.
But it has RGB because it is Razer.
It's Razer, yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting option. Again, I think it's overpriced, but if you find it on sale, yeah, looks like it could be pretty cool.
When's it coming out? Oh, it says just released.
Oh, now. So it's available now. Yep.
Yeah, so they'll be the you know, your classic YouTubers that review this kind of stuff. They'll have reviews up soon on it, so you can see if it's even close to worth that kind of dough.
For me, like, a big deal is if you can use it with your phone case.
Yeah.
Because most people have phone cases, and taking off your phone case every time to
Forget it. That
was the failing of the original Backbone. The new Backbone works with some phone cases, not all. This one should work with most cases, according to the article. The Game Sir that I ordered works for some cases, like the thinner ones. Anyway, I'll have more on that later.
Cool. In Help Desk, we talked a little bit about some new monitor tech, some new TV tech. Well, LG also is showing off some new monitor tech. It is still using OLED, though. None of this ODEL or
QDEL.
QDEL. This is OLED.
Just think of SuperDEL, but QDEL.
I don't like to think of him. I go nuts.
Kicking an owl.
Come on.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
So LG showed off this week. It's new. It's really pushing hard into gaming monitor, OLED gaming monitors now. They're up in the game on their, pun intended, on their monitors for gaming with a new type of panel that will, now we've seen this a little bit, but I don't think we've seen these exact specs. So it will offer that kind of switching we've seen in, I think, an Alienware one, where you can do 1080p, 480 hertz, or 4K, 240 hertz.
That's best of both worlds right there. That's so
that
cool.
is. Yes.
Do you guys
so,
play,
if you're playing,
do you guys notice any benefit over 240?
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't personally.
I wouldn't notice it, but
maybe in professional gaming?
Yeah, exactly. Your esports players will notice it. You might notice a teeny bit better latency while you're controlling.
Would you guys give up 4K?
Eyes gonna.
Yeah, not would you for guys give up 4K?
No, yeah, because here's the thing. 4K, like,
240 seems pretty
there's
optimal.
There's like five games out there that can run at 480 hertz, and that's right. All esport games, and I don't really play those. So
yeah, like the GPU could probably handle it, but the CPU.
Not the CPU. Yeah, exactly.
It would not get up to that high refresh rate.
So this one will have that display switch in there for you to choose what you want. But this is the really cool thing about it is it uses LG's Meta Technology 2.0, which is the micro lens array stuff. So that they only put in their really high-end G series TVs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's going to have better light brightness with less image retention possibilities, things like that. So they're really loading in all the bells and whistles with
so less chance of burn-in. And I know James hates burn-in.
Hate burn-in.
Gotta hate that.
So dumb.
So it's really That's looking cool. They said that they're gonna start having these displays out for not just their own stuff. They'll also be selling it to screen, you know, gaming screen makers for them to put in there.
These are going to be spandy.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be pricey. They say the full lineup will have 27 inch, 31.5 inch, 34 inch, 39 inch, and 45 inch options. So the only one I'm really interested in would maybe be the 31.5, 32 inch because the rest of them are ultra wide monitors, and I just don't really get behind that too much. I like the nice 16:9 aspect ratio personally. But
it looks pretty.
Yeah. If you're into the ultra wide stuff, it's going to be available on that. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. We'll see how it goes.
Ultra wide to me is like, it's a nice feature, but I don't care.
The problem with ultra wide is, in my opinion, is you lose, like, there's still games that are developed that don't support ultra wide. Aspect ratios and older games, most of them don't support ultra wide aspect ratio. So you end up with a picture that's shorter than you would get with a 16:9 and big black bars on the side. And so it just meh, you know.
And everybody just looks dumb at that point, you know.
Exactly, James. That's right.
What are you gonna do? You know.
I don't know if this is good news or bad news. Embracer's splitting up. Is that good news?
I would call it a conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
Now, why would you call it that?
They're uncoupling to three different companies.
Yeah.
Splitting up their properties to these three different companies. Who knows why they chose which properties to go where.
The naming convention they've gone with too is really weird.
Yeah.
It's just a tax shelter.
One of them is called Asmodee. Which will handle the tabletop gaming segment. So like Ticket to Ride, Seven Wonders, Catan. Wow, they own board game stuff too?
Yep.
The other one is Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. I like how they added and Friends there.
Because that's everything besides the two Lord of the Rings games they've made. That's just totally crap. Cashing in on the term Middle Earth because they think it's recognizable.
Yeah, specializing in AAA games and overseeing Dead Island, Killing Floor, Kingdom Come Deliverance, Tomb Raider, and finally Lord of the Rings franchises.
I know when I think of Dead Island, I think of Middle Earth, so it fits.
The third company is Coffee Stain and Friends. And it's the indie-centric group, which includes Deep Rock Galactic, Goat Simulator, Satisfactory, Wreckfest, Teardown, and Valheim.
So more of the indie developers.
Yeah. So they really wanted to get over the bad PR just by adding and friends to the end of these companies.
Seriously.
We're all friends.
And friends.
Except for Asmodee. I don't know
where
why
did they
it's
even
not
get
Asmodee
that name?
And friends.
Asmodee and just Asmodee.
Yeah. They don't need friends over there.
So that first group, Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, the studios in that are Crystal Dynamics,
great studio,
Dambuster Studios, and what did they make recently? Was that the Dead Island 2?
I think it was Dead Island 2.
And that got great reviews.
Yeah, they saved it.
Yep. Eidos Montreal, which I love the stuff that I've played from Eidos Montreal. They're the ones that have been doing the Deus Ex games. Flying Wild Hog Studios, another great studio that does fun shooters. You got Tripwire, Vertigo Games, Warhorse Studios, which the Warhorse is the Kingdom Come Deliverance studio. That's like pretty much all they do. And then you still, poor old 4A Games is still tossed in the mix there. I forgot they were a part of Embracer.
Guys, we're still here.
Yeah, 4A Games are the Metro guys. They are fantastic.
Yeah, they make good stuff.
So I hope this works.
I don't see how this makes any financial sense. Maybe it's easier to get investment for smaller companies.
I think that's probably a logical line of thought. And the other thing too is they can just saddle one of these with all their debt, and the other two will look profitable. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Taxes, money, capitalism.
Money.
Mm. Money.
All right. And then last but not least, Jaren has some thoughts on the Delta game emulator on iOS.
Yeah. Last week we talked about how an emulator was released and then quickly pulled. Well, an actual emulator came out called Delta.
Hasn't been pulled.
The reason the first one was pulled because the dude stole the work of the guy that made Delta.
Yeah.
We didn't think anybody would notice. Crap.
So Delta, not to be confused with the airline company, which also has an app called Delta. This has Nintendo emulators. NES, SNES, N64, Game Boy Advance, and Nintendo DS, I believe. So I've been giving it a whirl. I've loaded up games for NES, SNES, Nintendo 64, Game Boy Advance. It's a pretty bare bones emulator, to be honest. It doesn't have any options to change. You pretty much put in your ROMs. You can connect it to iCloud or just download them directly on your phone and can link to that. But there's really, if you don't like how sharp it is, you can't change the resolution or anything like that. You can't downsample. The
is
emulation
in the future, do you think?
What was that?
Maybe.
Is that coming in the future, do you think?
I bet there'll be other emulators out there.
So can you load
with
different
better options?
Can you load different cores onto
you can't,
it?
No, you can't load different cores, so what you have is what you get. I hope RetroArch comes out because that's a lot more customizable.
Yeah.
And I think it's been on jailbroken iPhones for a while now. I could be wrong, though. Anyway, so I've given this a whirl, and the emulation seems fine for NES, SNES, as well as Game Boy Advanced. Really no complaints there. It plays full speed. It works well. Nintendo 64, it is not a very good emulator. Tried a few different games. GoldenEye, there's graphic artifacts in the menus. There's some weird frame pacing issues with, like, Mario Kart. Indiana Jones and the Infernal Machine, that one boots, which is actually good because in other emulators, that game doesn't even boot, but it boots here, but there's graphic artifacts in it. So it's okay for Nintendo 64. Good enough, better than nothing. I would totally take it. But the on-screen controls are as good as they can get on a phone. There's haptic feedback on there, but it's on-screen controls, which means it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to try that out with my controller that's coming any day now.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yep. So anyway, very excited for the future. Delta is solid enough, especially since it's free and there's no other option right there right now. So
wins by default. You can get.
Nintendo's on board with it?
Of course
well,
not.
I'm sure
Nintendo
they
hasn't
would.
Come down with some sort of.
Well,
cease and desist.
They have to be able to prove that it's harming their business and stuff like that. And these are all, you know, that's why the Switch one was easy to come after because the Switch is still their current system.
Yeah, true.
But these are all old deprecated systems.
Yeah, and the developers
but
of
sell
Yuzu,
they sell these emulators in, like, you can buy these games. Can you buy games in the
some
Nintendo
of them.
Shop?
Yeah,
some
you can,
them,
but so. The emulators aren't illegal. It's the illegal obtaining of ROMs, distribution
yeah, right.
of ROMs. That's bad. And this developer isn't distributing ROMs, right?
Right. I see.
But But I'm excited for the future of emulation on iOS. We're not going to get Dolphin on there, which emulates GameCube and Wii, or anything past that. The iPhone's powerful enough, but the problem is Apple does not allow just-in-time compiling, which Dolphin and more powerful emulators need to be able to run at full speed. Right now, Dolphin would run at like 10 FPS with workarounds to the just-in-time compiler. And Apple isn't keen on enabling that. They are only allowing it for third-party browsers in the EU because of the new EU rules.
Right,
and these third-party browsers have to go through all these loopholes to even be considered for that. And the creator of or a developer of a iOS app that he wants to put Dolphin on there, he already reached out to Apple. They said no, obviously, and even if they said yes, it would only be available in the EU. So we're not getting more powerful stuff on there in the short term.
It doesn't exist in America. It doesn't exist anywhere.
That's true. America is it. We're the only country in the world.
Yep.
Agreed.
Is that it, Jaren?
About America? Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. We've reached the end. That's all we have for today. Before we go, though, big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers, patreon.com/helpdeskarcade.
Thank you to David Bro. Oh.
You have it ready that fast? Wow.
He's making up for
Well done. For Not time. Like Help Desk. Big shout out to our awesome Patreon backers that donated $6 a month or more. And Jaren has that right now.
Thanks to David Roshinsky, Connor Keesaw, and Wiffleball Tony. Thank you, guys. Jason Eatman, Keonda Karnal. I'm Halo Onyx. How about you?
I have to know who that is.
That's Twyman.
Sounds like Twyman. Yeah.
Twyman? Twyman's Halo Onyx?
No way.
Oh, he just tricked you.
Andy Bird, Be the 8-Year-Old, Tony the Home Theater Geek, Travis Johnson, buy Geek Show Arcade Help Desk stickers at Pyman Graphics on Etsy.
Ooh.
All proceeds go to Lee George K's medical bills. Jeremy, No Name No Color, Keslo, Eric Steinman, Eric Cruz, The In-Between Rating Plus 6, Matt Nelson, Harry Patch, Adam, Aaron Faulkner, Stuart Lloyd, History Is There For You To Learn From or Repeat Your Choice, Ryan M., and Adam Hecht. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Patreon backers. We appreciate you. That's it. We're done this week. Join us next week when we're back. That's a good idea, right?
Always back.
That's right. Okay, Owen, take us out.
Hey, we hope you care.